Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and according to the BBC, nearly 6,000 people are said to have been killed by police, vigilantes, and mercenaries since President Rodrigo Duterte launched his drug war after being elected president of the Philippines in May. He's expressed few regrets about the policy, once even saying, Hitler massacred 3 million Jews. There's 3 million drug addicts. I'd be happy to slaughter them. This week, the president admitted to personally killing criminal suspects when he was mayor of a Philippine city.
I used to do it personally, just to show to the guys that if I can do it, why can't you? And I go around Davao with a motorcycle, with a big bike, and I would just patrol the streets and looking for trouble also.
And that was the English part. Then he added in the language Tagalog, I was looking for an encounter so I could kill. And did you hear how in that clip he seemed to say, if I can do it, why can't you? Of course, critics worry that by boasting about the blood on his own hands, President Duterte will further embolden police and vigilantes to blatantly violate laws and carry out more extrajudicial executions without fear of being held accountable. With us now is Adrian Chen, staff writer for The New Yorker. He recently wrote a very long investigative piece for The New Yorker called When a Populist Demagogue Takes Power. Welcome to WNYC, Adrian. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And I want to open up the phones, particularly for any Filipino listeners or anyone else connected to this or following this Duterte situation, 212-433-WNYC. Filipino Americans, anyone back in the Philippines who you have contact with, reporting anything to you or whatever you want to say or ask, 212-433-9692 on this one of the most extreme and serious situations in the world right now. And at the time you wrote this piece, Adrian, you reported that Duterte had an 86% approval rating in the Philippines. Is that still the case?
Well, the latest polls came out, and I think he's now at 64%. So it's gone down a bit, but
because of things like the clip we just played?
I think a lot of it had to do actually with the kind of break with America that he has been doing over time of, you know, denouncing the U.S., breaking ties. That has proved to be pretty controversial, but the drug war is very supported still.
And that was in September when he said, America has lost now, telling a group of Chinese businessmen, I've realigned myself in your ideological flow, and maybe I will also go to Russia to talk to Putin and tell him that there are three of us against the world, China, Philippines, and Russia.
Right, and that all kind of stemmed from the U.S. criticism of the drug war, UN and Western criticism of human rights violations in the Philippines.
And the Obama administration said just yesterday, I think, that it has now deferred giving economic aid to the Philippines that was otherwise scheduled because of concerns about the rule of law breaking down.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were really kind of playing a wait-and-see game for a while. There haven't been a lot of real repercussions. I think they were kind of waiting to see how much was bluster, and now it seems like there's some real repercussions coming.
And after the election, President Duterte congratulated Donald Trump for a, quote, well-deserved victory in the U.S. presidential election and said he thinks the two will get along well. How has Trump responded?
Well, Duterte claimed that in the phone call, Trump had basically endorsed his war on drugs, saying that he did it in the right way. Duterte, I mean, I wouldn't take that at face value. He has a lot of tendency to spin things, to mishear phone calls. This has been a reoccurring issue in his administration. But I did see Time, I think, had an interview with Trump where they raised this issue, and Trump didn't come out and endorse it, but he didn't say he didn't say that. So who knows what he really thinks.
Is this why your article has this very general title that's not Philippine-specific, but there's overtones to this headline to your article, which is When a Populist Demagogue Takes Power?
Yeah, I think it was just – it wasn't totally intentional, these parallels, because I was writing this before Trump was elected, when I think most people didn't think he was going to be elected. That was kind of a sly move by the New Yorker, I think, when the news came out.
Because like a lot of articles, you wrote the article, but some headline writer wrote the headline.
Right.
And of course, a lot of Trump people will get upset by something like this, saying he's not done any – of course, he's not in office yet, but he's not done anything near like ordering or encouraging extrajudicial killings by vigilante groups.
Yeah, well, it's funny because people in the Philippines would also get mad at the comparison, saying that Trump didn't have any experience governing, whereas Duterte was a very experienced politician. So I think both sides would get a little irked at the.
If he still got popularity in the 60s, 60+%, there must be a very serious drug problem in the Philippines that people are at least putting up with him dealing with in these ways.
Yes, there has been a rising epidemic of meth abuse because of the proximity to China. It's kind of a hub for trafficking there, and it's especially prevalent in poor communities and slum communities where a lot of, you know, rickshaw drivers, laborers will use meth to kind of work these long hours, and, you know, it's something that touches a lot of people. So it was definitely a resonant issue.
And before we take some phone calls, I see there's disagreement over who is carrying out the extrajudicial killings. Duterte denies that they're coming directly from orders by him or his government. And yet that clip we played, I used to do it personally, he said, just to show the guys, the police, that if I can do it, why can't you? So, I mean, that seems to be that he was modeling vigilantism for the people.
Well, he is, he's been very kind of canny about walking the line, you know, of saying these things, but then instantly backtracking if he's called on it, saying it's exaggeration. So you never really know what the truth is among these things. But you know, I don't think anyone has a question that he's endorsing this, that he, you know, let these death squads run rampant at the very least in Davao at the time. But he's actually already claimed during the campaign to have personally killed people. So this isn't really a new thing. I was actually kind of surprised that it got so much play now because he was saying this throughout the whole campaign. Mm.
Maria in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I'm a Filipina. I moved here in 88. And I'm proud to be an American, but I still have relatives and friends in the Philippines. And I was actually following this very closely and how I wish he had not been the president. But he is the president, and I think he's a very dangerous man because, like you were talking about, he actually, from the statesman, the statement you played, he actually legitimizes vigilantism. He disregards the rule of law. That's why I think it's very dangerous for the Philippines.
Are you hearing from any family or friends that you still have back there?
Well, thank goodness, thank the Lord, they're not really affected by what's happening right now. But I really feel great sympathy for families that have lost loved ones, and they don't even know what happened to them just because of the circumstances over there. There is a real problem when it comes to drug addiction over there. But the main, I think, in my opinion, the main cause of that is poverty. I would much rather like to see him implement programs to create more jobs for people over there. Because if you try and solve the poverty, I would think that would be a greater help instead of, like, killing these drug addicts.
Yes.
That are there now. You know, it doesn't help the problem of drugs over there. It just makes it worse. And it makes it dangerous for the Philippines. It erodes, like I said, the rule of law.
Thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. Tanya in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I thought it was my understanding that he was doing vigilante against the drug dealers. And as having Filipino friends. I agree with him doing that. It's for the safety of others. I mean, everybody wants to protect criminals now. Like, I don't get this conversation we're having now that the president is bad because he's trying to get the people that's harming them with the drugs, harming them with violence. With drug dealers come violence, and they kill people. And we're worried about them getting hurt now?
Would you want to see the police in Brooklyn kill drug dealers rather than arrest them and put them on trial?
The drug dealers in the Philippines is different from the drug dealers in America. They don't take no prisoners when you're a gangster over there. The gangsters over here, when you're a criminal, and if you are a criminal, I feel like if you're killing people, then all fair game. What the president is saying is not wrong. I don't get why we start defending criminals now.
Tanya,
I don't get that.
Sorry, thank you.
And that's why Hillary is not in office today, because instead of deporting like criminals, and when their country don't want them, she's saying we're going to find a place for them. Where are they going to go? Just keep hurting more people? Like, I've seen too many people get hurt from drug dealers and how they behave and how their mentality is. They don't care about people. So why should we start caring about them?
Tanya, thank you very much. Wow. If we didn't think we would hear support for Duterte on a call-in show in New York, there you go.
Yeah, I think, usually I think a lot of Filipinos abroad support the drug war, but you know, I think she does bring up a point, not in the sense that I don't know necessarily about the difference in the drug dealers, but a lot of people in the Philippines feel that the criminal justice system is just so broken, so corrupt, that this is the only way to deal with this problem.
We were talking before in terms of, and tell me if this was inaccurate use of language, killing drug addicts, not just dealers.
Right. He doesn't make really a distinction between the addict and the dealer. They've actually said the addicts, you know, get their money by dealing, so we're gonna take them out too.
Kathleen in Summers, New York. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I never remember whether you say Summers or Somers.
We say Somer.
Somers, right. Okay. Up there near Katona, where for people who don't know. Yeah, so you're Filipino-American.
I am. I was born and raised in Cebu, which is the central region of the Philippines. And I've had experience with drug addiction in my own family. My uncle actually ended up committing suicide because he was addicted. And so I had family coming up recently, a few weeks ago, and visiting my parents, and we asked them about how they felt with this new president, and they don't like his methods, but they like the results. They feel much safer. This particular family, they're upper middle class, and so they have nice cars, they have a nice house. Their daughters go to pretty, you know, they go to nice schools, and so they don't have to worry as much about kidnapping. They don't have to worry about being mugged, robbed. And so for them, it's a fair trade-off. But at the same time, I also have another, I have a cousin whose parents are in deep poverty, and he's a drug addict, and I'm worried that he's going to fall victim to this, you know, reign of terror.
I hear both sides of that coming from you. Any concern that you have as somebody with, you know, a background there and also being American, being here, about any parallels with Trump as, you know, going back to the title of this New Yorker article, when a populist demagogue takes power?
I definitely see the parallels, and I noted it during his campaign, this populist agenda and how, you know, it doesn't matter what the means are as long as the politician delivers the results that the people want, which is basically a war on democracy. And, you know, what's going on with the Philippines, this absolute lack of due process, I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen over here, because it will deliver the results that the Americans want. So it's a true fear. There are real parallels between these two people.
Kathleen, thank you very much. Wow. Adrian, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
For last word, or how you think the world should respond to the situation, the outside world, to the Philippines under Duterte, or whatever you want to say?
Sure. I think she brought up a very good point that this is a war that, you know, disproportionately affects the poor, that Duterte has kind of positioned himself as a champion of the poor, but he's at the same time killing thousands and thousands of people, mostly poor. And I would say, you know, for the outside world, should focus on that aspect, on the way that it's actually increasing the suffering and among, you know, so many poor people in the Philippines.
Adrian Chen is a staff writer for The New Yorker. He recently wrote the very long, in-depth investigative piece called When a Populist Demagogue Takes Power. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.